of all we find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Well, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Well, that was good. Y'all really turned it on there at the end. I wish there's a fourth verse. Oh, we got Monty's mom in the crowd tonight. And Monty is so happy. He's been so looking forward to his mom getting back in here. We're so glad to have you this evening. Make yourself at home. You've been gone too long. We got to get you back here. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking to see if there's a visitor tonight. If you've been here twice, you're not a visitor. That's for sure. So everybody's been here at least twice, right? And we're going to do a little thing here right after the service. We're going to have a little party. Everybody likes to party, right? Yeah. Birthday parties for those, what is it, for May or June? June, yeah. June. Well, it's not my month, so I don't care. I'm just here for the food, okay? But if you have a birthday in June, say so. If you know of somebody who's got a birthday in June and they're not here, you can have their piece of cake. How's that? Lord's been good to us today. He's given us a beautiful, beautiful day. Come July, I'll have tomatoes, and we'll have tomato mayonnaise sandwiches. That's a good thing to look forward to, right? Yeah, yeah. I can't tell you, because she comes when I'm not home and gets my stripies. But I'm going to ask ushers if they would come forward, and we'll receive our evening offering. And we're going to move right along because we want to have our time together over at the fellowship hall. And Jesse is going to sing. Henry is going to sing. I misspoke. I said to Scott, I said, is Jesse singing? He said, she hadn't practiced anything. So I guess Jesse's not singing. It's Henry now who's going to sing. I loved that song this morning, didn't you? That was so good. They could have done that again tonight for all I care. I loved that song. But Henry will be singing here in just a few minutes. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Tom, would you do that? Amen. Thank you.
more than great riches, more than acclaim, more than needing strangers who already know my name, more than respect from my closest of peers, there's a voice and a statement that I long to hear. Only two words will fulfill me when I see his face, for there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done. Don't you see I haven't always followed his whisper inside? There were days that I battled and I still lost the fight, but I laid regret where his precious blood fell, and with tender forgiveness he said, now go finish well. Only two words will fulfill me when I see his face, for there's eternal meaning in this one little phrase. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done. When this life is over and the next one's begun, I want it to start with well done, well done.
Yeah. I like that, don't you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay, I'm going to get into a few things here, if you'll hang with me for a little while. This morning's message, I just want to, and some of the things that I'll say or cover, you will remember hearing in this morning's message. But this is more of something you could take notes on. If you would like to take notes, I'm laying out a outline of these things so that you can go and study some things on your own. I'll give you some scripture and some good things to think about, and you can waller in it all next week if you want to. We're talking about the coming of the Lord, the second coming. Y'all believe, right? Are you ready? That was the question, wasn't it? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you know when it's going to be? I heard a yes. Do you know the exact time and hour? I got to ask the right question, don't I? If you don't ask the right question, you'll get the wrong answer. That's right. Okay, let's just take a look as to the time, because he says of the exact time, we cannot be certain. We know that. If you've been in church very long at all, you know that's the way it is. Because he said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So we know someone who knows when he's coming, and it's the Father. And he's not telling. He's not telling. You know why he's not telling? Because he said for us to keep our eyes open. He said, you keep looking, and you'll see one day I'll come back. But I'm not telling you when or how or where. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Now, we know, or I'm saying we know, maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong. But we, normally, who are Christians, we take a premillennial view. And if you're not taking a premillennial view, you're wrong. Okay? I'm going to give you some reasons why. Now, we know that there is a premillennial, postmillennial, and amillennial. A preacher was preaching on that one time, and he said this guy told him that he was an amillennial, and he said, ah. Yeah, some of you caught that. That was corny. I know it was corny, but it's okay. At least we know. But we are premillennial, and I'm going to give you reasons why we are premillennial, so you can nail it down. And if you don't want to nail it down, that's up to you. It's not going to unsave you or anything, but I don't see how in the world you can believe anything else. Boy, that puts you in a bad spot, doesn't it? Huh? That's before the thousand-year reign. Millennial is 1,000. In Revelation 21-6, that's where you'll find this. And this is a period that is spoken of in the Scriptures very plainly. If you go there, you'll find out. I understand the Sunday school class is in Revelation. When you get there, you'll find out that Tom will cover that just fine. Now, the prophets that we're covering on Wednesday night, every one of them would tell us that when the earth is going to be blessed with this thousand-year reign, it's going to be a reign of universal righteousness. We believe that. We believe it's going to be a thousand-year reign of universal righteousness. It's all going to be about righteousness because that's what it is. Now, the New Testament demands that Christ will return before the millennium. It demands that, and I'm going to give you some reasons why. And here are a few reasons. I told you might want to take your pen and write these down. Now, you can shout any time during these points, okay? It's okay. I know it's not in an evangelistic message style, but it's okay. If you hear the gospel and it's the truth, you can say amen, hallelujah, shout, or whatever you want to do. So, when Christ comes, he will raise the dead.
Amen?
Amen? But the righteous dead are to be raised before the millennium. If that's the case, then if that's going to happen, the Lord has to come back before that. It can't be anything else. So you said this morning you believe that and you were ready for him. Well, that's one of the reasons why we believe in the millennial reign. When Christ comes, he will separate the tares and the wheats. And you know that story. He's the one who does the separating. You know, he told us, don't you try to separate. You leave that up to me. I'll take care of the tares and the wheats. Well, as a millennial period of universal righteousness, that would have to happen before. The tares and the wheats will have to be separated before the coming of the Lord, or it's not going to work. Then he says when Christ comes, Satan will be bound. We know that. You've heard that all of your life. Well, but Satan is to be bound during the millennium. And if that's the case, then Christ has to come before the millennium. Another one. When Christ comes, the Antichrist is to be destroyed. But as the Antichrist is to be destroyed before the millennium, just stands to reason. Christ has to come back before the millennium. or it can't happen. Now, when Christ comes, if this were a theological class, you know, we could have discussions maybe, and you could discuss another viewpoint or whatever, but it's not. It's a millennial, pre-millennial reign, and that's where we are. When Christ comes, the Jews are to be restored to their own land. We've heard that all of our life. Well, if that's the case, but as they are to be restored to their own land before the millennium, and they are, then it just stands to reason that there can be no millennium until Christ comes. So those are some of the reasons why we say that we're premillennial. If you've never heard that phrase before, you haven't been here. I don't throw it out there all the time as being premillennial because I don't think it's necessary. But those are the reasons why we're premillennial if you want to do that. Now, as to the manner of his coming, there's always a manner. He says he will return in the same manner as he went away. He's going to come back bodily and visibly because that's the way he went. Now the scripture says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." That's scripture. That's not what my view is of premillennial reign or anything else. It's what scripture says about it. And it's going to come, and some of you had a question about this part of it, and I thought maybe this might be a good time to straighten this out. It's going to be in two stages. His coming will be in two stages. He will first come in the region of the atmosphere that we have here, and the dead in Christ and the living saints shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That's the first stage. Then the first stage is known as the rapture. If you're going, you sure you're going to be in the rapture and you're going to be raptured out, you know you're going to be going in the first stage. The second stage is the revelation stage of his coming again, of his second coming. Now, the rapture. The rapture is, I just read it this morning, that's why I told you we would link a couple of scriptures up. The rapture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, when he says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." From this verse we see the rapture is twofold: the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the translation, not the resurrection, but the translation of the living saints. So there's two different things happening there. This twofold character of the rapture Jesus revealed to Martha when he was about to raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. When he said to her, "I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." But then he says this. He says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Amen. So there's going to be that resurrection of those who have died before, but there's going to be that translation of those who are ready to go and not dead. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Everybody is at that time. When they come forth out of that grave, they're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's where we're all going to be the same. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And I know this is a kind of a mystery to most people to try to understand this. I don't suppose we'll ever understand every aspect of it as long as we live down here. That's not the important thing, I don't think, is that we understand everything. We just need to understand what will cause us to look toward our Lord with even more eagerness to see him again. I love songs that point me to see the face of Jesus when we get there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. I don't know what that change is going to be like. I don't have a clue. I just know it's going to be really exciting. Whatever God has in store for our change, it's going to be really good. There's a lot of things you won't have to deal with anymore when he changes that. And when he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He was talking about the last two lines there refers to those who are changed without dying. That's the ones who will, where there won't be a sting or where is thy victory. Death won't have that sting and that victory. It's not going to happen to those who are just going to be changed and out of here in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Now, I did make this statement this morning. I'm going to make it again because it's important that you understand for your own sake, if you're not saved, and for your friends and family and neighbors, whoever you're going to be witnessing to, they need to know that the rapture is going to take place. And it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be quickly, and it's going to be a surprise. Well, you know that things that happen quickly are a surprise, aren't they? They are. They are. I've had a couple car fender benders in my day, and I don't think I ever had one that I planned. In fact, I don't think I ever had one that I had a half a mile's notice that it was going to hit me. I think it was just boom, it hit me, and I wondered where it came from. Have you ever been there? That's a surprise. Well, that's what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. It's going to be a surprise. Now, here's when he mentioned it as a thief in the night. I thought this was very interesting, and you might want to remember this. A thief does not announce his coming. Not going to send you a letter in the mail and say, Thursday night I'm going to be at your house to take everything you've got. He doesn't do that. And the Lord's not going to, other than his word to tell us he's coming and look for him, he's not going to tell you when he's coming. He comes for a certain purpose. Now this is, keep in mind, we're talking about the Lord here coming. He comes for a certain purpose. He does not take everything there is in the house. He takes only the precious things. Everybody in here that's saved say, I'm precious. That's who he's coming for. He's coming for the precious ones. You're precious to him. When the thief comes into your house, he's looking for the best things you've got, the most valuable things you've got, and he's going to take that, and here's what's going to happen. You may not have a lot of jewels and gold and that sort of stuff, or you might not have the best apparel. I get the best deals I can. I'm not going to buy a $1,000 suit. You know, they make them. I think 500 is as much as I can look at, and I'm not near there. I make sure that I get it when it's buy one, get one, or at least half off. If I can get half off, I may even talk to him, but I'm not there. I don't have all that. But when the thief comes into your house, he's going to only look, and that was the point here, he's going to only look for those things that are valuable and precious. And when the Lord comes back, he's only coming to get those who are valuable and precious to him. You are, and he's coming for you. He does not come to stay. The thief's not going to come and set up. I've seen these things on TV where somebody came into somebody's house and robbed them of everything he had and sat down at the table and had a cup of coffee. Hey, he's not going to do that. That's a stupid thief, really. He does not come to stay. And as soon as he secures what he comes after, he's going to leave. And as soon as the Lord comes back and gets you, he's going to take off. He's out of here. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. And then the rapture is going to be an elective thing to where there's going to be some separation. And we know there's going to be a separation of the saints and the believers, the saints and the unbelievers. But there's also going to be a separation of husbands and wives. brothers and sisters. Aunts and uncles, friends. You may have a wonderful friend down here. If the Lord comes back and your friend is lost, you're going to be separated forever. You'll never know them in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven with as many people as I can. I mainly want to be there to be with my Lord and to see him face to face. But I want to get there with as many of my family members and as many of my friends as I can. I want to make sure that I give them an opportunity to know the Lord so that we can go together. So there's going to be a big separation, a huge separation, and I don't want to be a part of that separation. This shows that the rapture will happen all over the world at the same time. Now, I'm going to read it. When he says in a moment, twinkle of an eye, that's the only way it could happen, is that it happens everywhere, worldwide. When he says it's going to happen, the people in Japan, even though they're, what, 5 hours difference or something like that, even though there's 5 hours difference in our time frame, that's not going to be how it's going to be. When it happens in a moment, twinkle of an eye, it's going to happen all over the world at the same time. And you say, that can't happen, can it? Yes, it can happen. I got on a plane out here at Tri-Cities one time, went to Detroit, and left Detroit and went to Los Angeles. Well, I had breakfast here and had lunch in Los Angeles. That's because of the time change. But the time change don't have anything to do with the Lord. It's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And everybody needs to be ready for it to happen, because when it happens, that's the way it's going to be. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's how fast it's going to be. And it's going to change immediately. Now the rapture will be, you don't want to miss the rapture, do you? I hope not. You don't want to miss it, not just simply because you're going home to be with the Lord, but this is going to be the most exciting, startling thing that has ever happened in this world that we live in. And I've seen some startling things. I remember the Twin Towers coming down. I can't tell you how I felt that day when I saw that plane go into that building, and the building started falling. But just the way that plane went right on into that building, it just did something to me. And some of you who were aware of it and maybe saw it on TV, didn't it do something to you? It was startling. I could not believe that was happening on our soil. But it did. And it was a startling event. But when the Lord comes back, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. I'm going to see that. I'm going to see him come back. I'm going to go with him. He's going to take me out of here. That's going to be one of the best things ever happened to me and you too. So if it's night on one side of the globe and day on another side, won't make any difference. It's going to happen the same way for everybody. And when it happens, if you work in a certain factory or store or wherever you work, there's going to be folks who are going to be gone in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And you say, how's that going to happen? I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I'm just going to tell you it's going to happen. Some are going to be left, and some are going to be taken away. He says there'll be two in the bed, there'll be one taken, one left. Wouldn't that be sad? Huh? Yeah. And wherever you are, that can happen anywhere. I believe some people will be taken for us. If this is the dark side of the world and you're taken, people just going to wake up next morning and you're just not going to be there. They may look all over everywhere. They may call 911. Put out a bolo, whatever those bolos are. Get to looking for him. That's not like him. He just don't just leave like that. But he's gone. And called St. Mary, and Aunt Mary says, well, Uncle Joe went too. I've got people disappeared on this side also. People disappeared everywhere. But there's going to be more, there's going to be less taken than there's going to be staying. You know that. There's going to be more lost here than there is saved going out of here. I want to be one of the few. I am one of the few. And I'm leaving here. So if you want to go with me, make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you can say, I'm ready to go. Then here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a voice. And I like voices. I like to hear voices. I like to kind of think I know the sound of a voice. If you speak to me on the phone once or twice, I can pretty well recognize your voice. Now, there's a few people who fool me. They sound so much like somebody else that lives in the house. And like Becky and Jesse. And that's my own, you know. But sometimes I'll call and Jesse will have Becky's phone or Becky will have Jesse's and I think I'm talking to one of them, you know, the one that has the phone. But that's not the case. But there's one voice I want to hear, and I got to hear how that voice sounds, the voice of the Lord. I want to hear his voice. I want to see his face. I want to see his eyes. I want to see the ears that hear the prayers that I've sent up. I just want to hear him. You say, well, you're talking about physical body. He hears. You tell me. He sees. You tell me. He speaks to me. You tell me. Sometimes he hugs me. You tell me. Can he do that? Yeah, he can. He does. Look for it. He does. So when this happens, and we're, by the way, if you're leaving out of here, you're leaving a void. If you're a child of God, you're leaving a huge void. And all of God's children are leaving a void. There's movies out called Left Behind. Did y'all ever read the books or see the movies? The Left Behind series. And I saw that. And it's I know some of it's a little off base. But for the most part, it was made you think a lot on how it's going to be. But what happens is when we leave here, the salt is gone. If y'all know anything about salt, if your grandparents ever had a smokehouse where they salted down meats to preserve them, you know what I'm talking about. Did you know that the children of God are the salt of this old world? And when the salt's gone, the meat rots. If we're the salt and we're gone, the meat's going to rot. This old world's going to be terrible, folks. I can tell you the way the Lord wanted this world to be when it first began is not going to be anywhere near that. There's going to be things happening that you would never thought would have ever happened because the salt is gone. The corruption is just continuing to be more and more and more. The worldliness, the increase, it's just going to pave a way for the Antichrist to come in. When it gets so bad, the Antichrist will make his move. Now that has to do with the rapture, the coming of the Lord and taking out of his children by either from the grave or by translating those who are alive and taking them up. Now, there is a second stage of the coming of the Lord. This stage is going to be a little different in that here's what's going to happen. In the second stage of Christ's second coming, the revelation part he's talking about here, we're going to behold his glory. If you remember when he came the second time, it's different than when he came the first time. When he came the first time, he clothed himself in the flesh of this old body down here, and it kind of hid who he was. Well, when he comes the second time, there's not going to be anything hid. He's going to be revealed. That's the reason you have the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation just simply means that Christ will be revealed. He's going to be revealed for who he is. This whole world does not accept him today for who he is. We don't recognize him for who he is. I'm glad. I can't see him in the glory he had before he left heaven to come down here. But when he comes back and he comes in that coming of revelation, he's going to reveal himself, and I'm going to see that glory. I don't know how I'm going to be able to take it when I see it, but I believe I'm going to be able to see it. And it's going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. It's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah when Noah was... By the way, we'll know something about that in a couple of days when we go up to the ark, mentioning that part of it. But when Noah, in the day of Noah, we know that what they were doing, they were buying and selling and marrying, giving in marriage and all that sort of thing. We read that. That same thing's going to happen here. That's going to happen on this part of the second coming. The wicked will be plotting deeper and bigger things. And I never thought much about this, but a couple things I read here just really made me see the way I've been seeing things is correct. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of that. The unbelieving people will, to their own satisfaction, will try to prove to themselves that there is no God. That's what people who don't want to believe in God, they're doing it for their own satisfaction. And they'll do everything they can to prove that they're right. They have to. If you can't prove you're right, you're going to prove yourself wrong, and you're not going to do that. So man will do everything he can. He'll prove to himself that there is no heaven. He'll prove to himself there is no hell. Well, folks, they're doing it now. And it's getting more and more. People are trying to prove that there is no heaven, there is no hell, because if there is none of this, then just live the way you want to. There'll be no accountability. Don't want to believe in a coming judgment? Just tell yourself there's not going to be any coming judgment. God's not going to deal with your sin? Just tell yourself God's not going to deal with your sin. You can do that. You can do all of that if you want to. But when this happens, suddenly, there will be a change. And you won't be able to do that anymore. He's coming. Just to put an attachment on the message this morning, he's coming. He's coming for his children, and he's coming to judge the unbelievers. It's a simple thing, really. And if we want to believe it, we will. If we're not going to believe it, then we won't. I was going to get into him coming down on his white horse. Y'all like white horses? Huh? Let me just do this, okay? Hang on just a second. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How's he going to do that? He's going to come seated on a white horse. Now, I don't know how you put that white horse in here. Don't care how you put it in there, but it sure is there. And I love horses, and I love my Lord. And I know that the white horse he's coming in on, I'd sure like to saddle that thing up and ride, wouldn't you? He's coming, folks. He's coming on that white horse. And things are going to change. We're going to see his throne of glory. He's going to judge the nations. And then he will set up the millennial kingdom where we first started here a few minutes ago. The millennial kingdom. There's going to be a millennial reign, a 1,000-year reign. Now, are you going to be here for that? How many of y'all believe you'll be here for that 1,000-year reign? John's raising his hand. John believes he's raising his hand. Yeah, Kevin believes he's raising his hand. It's a reign of righteousness. Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you want to be? We see enough of this old world we live in. You can't step outside that you're not wondering who's going to take advantage of you. It's a wicked world. We live in a wicked world. It's not going to be that way when the Lord comes back. A reign of righteousness? Would you like to live where everything is totally right? Everything is right. You don't have to worry about anybody taking advantage of you in a wrong way. The Lord's coming, folks. Let's get ready. Okay? Be ready today. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your coming. We thank you that you are not telling us when, you're telling us to look. We want to see you coming because we're looking for you. We don't want somebody else telling us, did you see that? I want to see you coming, Lord, because you're coming after me. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for each one who's in this congregation tonight. And I pray that everyone in here is ready to leave when you come. And we're going to praise you for everything you do. Be with Brenda tonight, Lord, and give her peace, knowing that you can take care of her. She's your child. You're her father. And Lord, we just want you to take care of her. Thank you for those who are back with us today that have not been here in a while. We praise you for your healing power, Lord. We know that you have the power to heal the body. You created it, and you can heal it. And you created it, and we're special to you, and you're coming for us. And we just can't wait for you to get here. We praise you for everything you've done, everything in Jesus' name. Amen.